Our first reading to Psalm 102. Psalm 102, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. A prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. Because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, and to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together in the kingdoms to serve the Lord. He weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Okay, so we don't know who the author is. It smacks of some Davidic authorship. There are some style points that are similar, but we don't know absolutely who it is, except that he is a man afflicted, and when he is overwhelmed, and he poureth out his complaint before the Lord. And we could simply read the title of the psalm, which makes up verse 1 in the Hebrew, and we could close the psalm and understand exactly where it's going from there. This is what we hear about in Psalm 102. In a couple of different rounds, the psalmist makes his complaint before the Lord, rests upon the promises of God, makes another round of complaint before the Lord, rests upon the promise of God, and throughout the recurring theme is that the afflictions and difficulties under which the psalmist suffers makes very, very evident to him the distinction between himself and God. Right? My years are consumed like a smoke, but thy years fail not, is the idea of the psalm that happens over and again, that we see reiterated once and again here in Psalm 102. So the psalm title is very instructive because it does give us the outline of the psalm, the afflicted. What do we do when we're afflicted? This is the question that we ought to ask ourselves when we come to Psalm 102. Do we pour out our complaint before the Lord? And not complaint like in a sinful sense, like in a murmur, but plaint like the older divines said, do we make our suit toward heaven when we are in any straits or difficulties? Or do we double down on our own strength, you know, pull up our magic Sinbad belt as tight as it can be? Some of you remember that reference. Some of you wonder what I'm talking about. Do we lace up our shoes a little bit tighter, right? Pull up our belt a little bit more, make sure we're in our battle clothes or whatever. You know, we have all kinds of things that we rely on in times of difficulty. We might flail about for help from our friends, which is not necessarily a bad thing to do. We might seek encouragement. Sometimes we seek commiseration, and we need to be careful doing that. That can be sinful, not all the time, but it can be. But first thing that we must do is cast our suit to heaven, to the Lord. We ought, beloved, to be about developing throughout our lives, by the grace of God, the kind of relationship to the Lord, such that when we are in trouble, we have great comfort in going to the Lord. A great facility, because we're practiced at it, right? You don't want to wait to learn how to pray when you're sinking. Although the Lord will hear, and he heard the prayer of Peter when he said, Lord, help me, right? Those short kind of prayers. Yeah, he does hear that. But may I say it this way, and I think I could produce some good theology on this, that the greater facility that we have in prayer when difficulties come, the greater comfort we're going to have in those prayers, a greater sense of God's promises, a greater sense of God's care over us, a greater sense of our own helplessness in the beginning of it anyway, and that greater sense then of the powerful and mighty care that God has over his people. If we are not practiced in prayer, if prayer is something that we only do in fits and starts and move on very quickly because we get distracted, there will come a day, beloved, when you will need to come with great emotion and with great affection unto the Lord, and you may not be able to do it because you don't know how. Right? Don't wait until that day to learn how to do that. Learn now, such that we are putting up a hedge against the difficult times to come. So it is the prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. He's very specific in his descriptions. Notice he says, I'm consumed like smoke. My bones are burned and brittle. I am smitten of heart. I'm withered like the grass. Smitten here means struck with a stroke near unto death. So difficult is his trouble that he has forgotten to eat. Not that he cannot eat, but he has forgotten to eat. He is so overwhelmed with his troubles. He feels abandoned like a wild creature. He is reproached by his enemy. He has partaken of the tokens of affliction, and he sees his life waning away like a shadow at dusk. The psalmist is in such a condition here that he, my days are like a shadow that declineth. I'm on my way out, he says. But then also he recognizes the hand of God in his affliction. We hear, don't we, from time to time about that God that never sends affliction from pulpits and so on. Well, that is not our God. Our God sends affliction. He sends affliction because affliction is the way that he has chosen to refine us and to shape us and to change us. And God's afflictions are his love notes to his people. Our God has not abdicated his sovereign rule over things and wished he could do us better, but doesn't. That's not how it works. All right, so then in verse 12, The psalmist has given up his estate before the Lord. Notice the contrast. But thou, Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Okay, so we see the contrast between human frailty, human weakness, human affliction, and God who endures forever, and his remembrance unto all generations. My days are like a shadow that declines, but God shall endure forever. And that's why we must be connected to him, if we would have any duration in this brief moment that we call human life, if it would have any durative value, we must be connected to him who changes not and is everlasting. All right, so then notice also that he sees his own deliverance, the psalmist does, in the deliverance of Zion. Notice, thou shalt arise and have mercy on Zion yet. Not on me, not on psalmist, but on Zion. Interesting, isn't it? That the psalmist sees his own deliverance tied up with the deliverance of Zion. Because he does not consider himself a solitary individual. He considers himself part of that larger whole. That is indeed the people of God. He's not a solitary pietist. He takes pleasure in Zion and in the public worship. He sees Zion's triumph as his own. The very dust and stones of Zion are dear to him and to all who love the Lord. As one divine used to say, this is precious rubble, right? Dust, stones. When Zion and her fortunes, if you will, I don't really like that word, but her situation is in ruins, the saints don't say, let me turn to some other city. They say, those ruins are precious. Precious rubble in that sense. So then, the promises of God. God will appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their prayer. And this is written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing that this is indeed that God's own durative value that we heard about earlier, it endures from generation to generation, that from generation to generation, there will be those to praise his name. Okay, so then we turn to verse 23. And once again, we have the contrast between the psalmist and God. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days, right? Verse 23. I said, oh my God, take me not away in the midst of my days, thy years throughout all generations. But then notice verse 25. Of old, thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, and so on. And so once again, we have the psalmist returning to that contrast between himself and God. This is what draws us to God, right? This is what attracts us to God. This is why we cannot turn away from him, because he endures. He is eternal, and we are not. When we turn to ourselves, we turn to folly. When we turn to other folks, we turn to folly. But when we turn to the Lord, we turn to that which is everlasting and true for everlasting. And the other thing that I would remind you about pertaining to Psalm 102 is that verses 23 through 27, not every bit of it, but most of it, is reproduced in the pages of the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 1. And in Hebrews chapter 1, we learn that all of these things that are spoken of here, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure, yea, all of them shall wax old as a garment. As a vesture thou shalt change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. That's spoken of Christ. That's what we learn from Hebrews 1. That the psalmist was speaking of Jesus Christ, and that is made clear to us by the quotation in Hebrews chapter 1 toward the end. And so who are we truly contrasting ourselves with? We're contrasting ourselves with the eternity, the durative nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he who is our God is also our Savior. And his salvation then is from everlasting to everlasting. So, what do we see then? The prayer of the afflicted. And how does he take comfort? He takes comfort in the Lord and his eternity, his eternal salvation. He takes comfort in the means of that salvation, which comes to him through Zion. And then he returns to that durative nature of God once again as the creator and savior of mankind. All right, with that then, let's close and stand and call upon the Lord.